The first reading this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For as there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, the same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Would you please be seated? Thank you. You know, some people love being out on the water, don't they? I mean, I do too. As long as the water stays on the other side of the boat, that's absolutely fine. A gentle cruise on the Norfolk Broads seems perfectly reasonable to me. But in our reading, the disciples weren't enjoying a gentle evening cruise on the Sea of Galilee, were they? The waves were battering their boat, and we read that the wind was against them, and they had been struggling for hours. Now, the disciples were not in the storm because they had disobeyed Jesus. In verse 22, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of them. So the disciples were in the storm because they had obeyed Jesus. They were exactly where Jesus had told them to be. Now, sometimes Christians think that if we're doing what God wants, then life should go smoothly. The computer should never crash. The car should never break down. And every church meeting should finish on time. You know, miracles do happen. But I think we understand that obedience to Christ does not guarantee us a smooth path in life. We understand that we can follow Jesus faithfully and still be fighting against the wind. Illness can come. Plans can sometimes fail. And relationships can become difficult. But I think today, God would say to us that even in the middle of the storms of life, he is not absent. So while the disciples are struggling on the lake, Jesus is alone on the mountainside praying, but he hasn't forgotten them. They can't see him, but he sees them. Maybe someone needs to hear that today. You may have lost sight of Jesus in the storm of life, but he hasn't lost sight of you. And then we read in verse 25 that shortly before dawn, Jesus comes towards them, walking on the lake. And the disciples are terrified because they think he's a ghost. Isn't it funny how none of them says, "Oh, look, isn't that lovely, Jesus on his morning walk?" I think when you see somebody walking across a stormy lake at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, ghost is probably quite a reasonable conclusion to reach, actually. But Jesus sees their fear, and in verse 27, he says, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Those words are at the heart of this passage. Take courage. Now, courage is not pretending that the storm is harmless. Courage is knowing that Jesus is present in it. Jesus says, "It is I." The Greek words here literally mean "I am." I am. The name of God that he gave to Moses in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. I am who I am. And Jesus says, "I am." He is God. And he rules nature, and he treads on the waves. What we read about today is not some flamboyant trick like David Copperfield making the Statue of Liberty disappear or something, which he never did, of course. Jesus is revealing who he is. The disciples are coming into contact with the divine presence of God in the middle of their fear. And then Jesus says to them, "Do not be afraid." Jesus uses that phrase a lot in the Gospels, "Do not be afraid," probably because we need to hear it a lot, I would imagine. We're quite good at being afraid, and we can worry about things that haven't even happened yet. You don't get any discounts for suffering in advance. Then in verse 28, Peter speaks out, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." So Peter gets out of the boat and walks towards Jesus. Now, when we think of this story, one of the first things that comes to mind is Peter sinking in the water. So the moral of the story must be, never get out of the boat. That's a wrong conclusion to reach from this story. Let's not forget that for a few amazing moments, Peter did what was humanly impossible. And he walked on the water because he trusted the words of Jesus. We read a lot about faith in the New Testament, and this is a good example of what faith is. Faith is sometimes getting out of the boat, beginning something new, offering forgiveness, or taking the next steps when the path ahead isn't at all clear. So Peter steps out of the boat and he's walking on the water, performing this wonderful miracle. And then he notices the wind. Now, the wind had been there all along. It wasn't a new thing. It had been there all night long. So what's changed? Well, the difference is that Peter's attention shifts. He starts off by looking towards Jesus, and he ends up by measuring the height of the waves. And that is when fear can take over. We look at the problem, then look at it again, then invite it in for a nice cup of tea, and then we give it the best chair, and we allow the problem to explain why everything is so hopeless. So Peter begins to sink, and he cries out, "Lord, save me!" That's one of the shortest prayers in the Bible, but one of the best, I think. Peter doesn't make up a lovely churchy prayer and say, "Almighty and most merciful Lord, if it is not too inconvenient for you." No, he says, "Lord, save me!" He just cries it out, "Lord, save me." And in verse 31, we read that Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. Immediately. Jesus doesn't stand there saying, "Well, Peter, I hope you've learned something from all this. Hope you take some swimming lessons next time." No, the first thing Jesus does is to rescue Peter. And then Jesus says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" He doesn't say "you of no faith," but "you of little faith." Peter has a real faith, but it's small and it's mixed up with fear. Faith and fear can exist quite comfortably in the same person. You know, we may trust Jesus, but still tremble at the waves around us. Christian faith is not confidence that storms will never happen. Christian faith is confidence that Jesus is Lord, even when they do. And so when Jesus and Peter climb into the boat, the wind dies down, and the disciples worship Jesus, and they say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And this is where this story has been heading. The greatest miracle is not simply that Jesus walks on water, but that in the storm, Jesus is walking towards them. In this situation we read about today, the storm reveals Jesus. Sometimes we meet Jesus most deeply when we've reached the end of our tether, when we are desperate, when we don't have any strength left. Sometimes then we can discover that Jesus is nearer and stronger than we had imagined. So what wind is against you today? What are you afraid of? Where are you exhausted from rowing your boat against the wind and getting nowhere? Hear again these words of Jesus. "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Perhaps Jesus is calling you to take a step of faith. Maybe he's simply calling you to just keep going. Maybe your prayer today is the same as Peter's. "Lord, save me." That prayer is enough. It was enough for Peter. Because the Jesus who caught Peter can also catch us. The good news today is not that Christians never sink. The good news is that Jesus catches us and doesn't let us go. Amen. Amen.